bear with me on it. Well, about 3 years ago, my mother passed away, and you all know that I was pretty close to my mother. I mean, she meant a great deal to me. And she had a house, and my brother lived in it with her, and my sister and her husband are all on the deed of that house. After she passed, she just left it them. And what happened with the house is that my brother's lived there for 3 years by himself, and he's been doing very well. He works for the school system, and the school system has been fine until the economy kind of took a crash, and he ended up getting his paycheck cut in half. So then it got a little difficult for him to be able to stay there by himself. So I'm kind of giving you the bigger picture of it. In the meantime, one of my older sisters that lives in Palm Springs with her husband, they also fell into a little bit of hardship with money financially. And they wanted to move in with my brother, and they were saying that they would help my brother and make his life easier and so forth. So my brother and the whole family was considering this. So we were wanting to be very helpful, very open, very loving to them. But we left the ultimate decision to my brother that lived there. Well, he got to a point finally, he says, I couldn't live with my brother-in-law. So he says, I can't do it. I just can't do it. Because my brother-in-law is rather difficult. And so they created a big family disharmony. They went and told their kids, their elder kids and everything, that the family wouldn't help them move in. So that was, we were terrible, and all this stuff went on with the family. So it created a big family dynamic. The long story of this is that now, since my brother had lost part of his income, he was reconsidering allowing them to move back in. And so my sister that owns part of the house called me and said, Rita, what do you think about that? And I said, no, I don't have a good feeling about it. I really don't. I just don't have a really good gut feeling about it. I don't want to be judgmental. I don't have any bad feelings for them. I just don't have that trust. I feel like if they get in there, they're going to default on the house. And they're not going to be able to really help the situation with that. And they say they are. And they created all this disharmony with the family for not getting in their first place. So my choice was to, you know, get into the story with everybody and talk about it, but I didn't. I decided to pray about it, and I decided to ask my mother in spirit to help me with the situation. I said to my mother, Mother, please, you know, I really want the help down here for everybody involved. I want the highest good for them. I'm not attached to the outcome. You know, come on, spirit world, really help us here with the situation so it can help everybody here. So I get this phone call this morning, and my sister calls. She goes, I can't wait to tell you what happened. This man came into the office this morning. She works for a dermatologist, new patient. And his name happens to be the same last name of our brother-in-law. Now, here, out of the blue, out of the world, the man comes in, out of the blue, same last name as our brother-in-law. And so they're in the room together, and they're talking, and she says, well, he goes, yeah. She goes, I have a brother-in-law that has the same last name as you. And he goes, oh, really? He goes, that's unusual. And then he decided to ask the question, and he says, well, I have a brother that's named Jerry Ault. Whoops, I wasn't going to tell you the name. Whoops. I just blew that, didn't I? Anyway, so he said, my sister said, well, that's my brother-in-law's name. He looks at her kind of funny and goes, was he a wine salesman? Yeah, she says. She's now facing the other way, getting his prepping some stuff for him, to bandage to put on him. And then he says, does he live in Palm Springs? And she says, turns around and says, yeah. And he says, well, let me tell you. I don't mean to tell you bad things about your family, but I want to tell you that my brother has had to call them because they've had bill collectors after them for years, and they're still having the bill collectors after them. So I thought to myself, I can't believe it. Literally, spirit had to come down, match up the name of that person, to come into my sister's office to tell her, to tell him what we were suspecting. And how the intuition was there, and to, we always have to trust ourselves, and also take personal responsibility for our actions in the event of how we think and how we ask. And she goes, I can't. She was just flabbergasted. She says, I need to tell you, I prayed for the same thing, that Mom would come in and help. And I thought to myself, my goodness, girl, we better listen to each other. This is pretty uncanny to find out literally that they have the same names and then the same thing that we were feeling. But I said, boy, you know, Spirit really has to make it blatant for me. I just, you know, maybe I'm a little slow with it. But so I'm thinking that, you know, the lesson here was not really about all the events and that people don't have problems, that they don't have financial problems, that, you know, there was lessons in it for me to look at why my sister went about it the way she did in her actions, but and not really to judge them for the whole experience, but to really be in tune to what was being said. Thank you. For getting in touch with your own inner knowing, your own asking, and knowing that you're always connected to Spirit. I mean, it literally happens. Now, I know there's lots of God stories out there, but I guess I needed one that blatant to match up the exact name to the exact feeling, the exact experience of what we were feeling. And even for my sister, it had to be appropriate for her to know on her level that when you ask and you pray, it gets heard and it gets given. Because she was astonished that a new patient came in with that name and had to give him the information. So she called me and she says, remember what you said? How you felt about they would default? That's why. And she was all into that story. And I said, whoa. So we got it. And so that kind of made me realize, further think about my own life and how we are all spiritually responsible for our actions and our thoughts and our words and what we think about and how we respond to things. So I started thinking that, you know, how responsible have I been in my life in certain things right around me now? So, you know, we're born just like, and we have a seed within us of Spirit that is just like we were meant to be connected to love. Just like the trees and the plants and all that, they will all grow and become what they are. And we will all grow and become what we are. We're all Spirit. We will be that. We don't have a choice. But how we listen and how we become responsible is by checking our feeling level and what we're responding to and how we act and how we think about it and what we say. So every time I get challenged by that, I try to say, you know, am I really getting to the love of the picture? You know, am I really trying to pull the love in? Even though I have to say, honestly, that there was gossip in that part where we were like, la-da-da, whoa, this is happening. But we weren't doing it out of being mean or had any other considerations. We were just doing it because we thought, this is a God story. This is really a God story. So that was the first part of the morning, the entry of the morning, that occurred. So I thought, wow, what a wonderful thing. So let me see, God, so what else are you going to show me today? Let's see what you want me to do something today. I usually have all these revelations that come to me about lessons in life for me that I'm to share, to be vulnerable, to talk to you about, because maybe we can relate to what's going on in our own lives and grow together. So I got another phone call from a woman. She called me and she says, we were talking, she says, what's your religion? I thought, what a weird question. Why is she asking me about my religion? And I said, well, my religion is love. I don't really have any other religion but love. That's all I believe in is love. That's my religion. She said, that's interesting. You're not Catholic, you're not? No. I said, well, I practice spiritualism, but really, if I were to choose a religion, it would be love. So She goes, well, that's pretty interesting. That's pretty neat. So we talked a little bit, and she says, well, what do you think about why wouldn't you want to choose a religion? Well, I said, if you really want my opinion is that I think that people choose a supernatural deity to manipulate other people, other frightened people, into a way of behaviors. And that's why I kind of left some of the religions that I had been involved in, because I didn't really believe that they were really supporting the individual to be in love, because I think God is bigger than religions. So the only thing that I know that God is love. So that's why I decided that if I were to choose anything, it would just be love. And I wouldn't classify myself in anything else. So that was our conversation. We went on from that a little bit. And after that, I got another phone call that came in. And we were talking about being responsible for ourselves and how we would not give away our energy, and we would not do 50 million things that for other people and distract ourselves from our own lives. So this gal was telling me that she has two children, and she was working, and she was doing consultant work, and she was being in photography, and she was gaining weight, and she was in a place that she couldn't really feel balanced. And so one of her friends had come to her and told her, you know, you need to do some kind of exercise and something to make you feel better. And so she talked about swimming. And so she said she started swimming and she lost all this weight. And she realized that it empowered her and that it gave her joy. And we were talking about spiritual responsibility again, is that we should be doing things in life that really make us feel good. Not things because we feel like we have to and because we think it's a loving way to be without loving ourselves. And I would say that was one of my big things for myself in my own life, is that responsibility is a big word for me. And I carry a lot of responsibility and a lot of different hats. I almost brought a bunch of hats tonight to show you how many hats I wear. But then I thought, my husband said, no, you don't really need that, those many props. You can just tell them. So there's all these hats, and I would feel overwhelmed by all the hats because there was so much to do. And then I would feel like I'd lose myself in it, and I wouldn't have time for myself. So I realized that I wasn't really being responsible to myself. And here I was, a teacher of responsibility, teaching people how to take care of their health and teaching people how to connect with themselves, be innerly connected. But I was missing the big element of connecting to myself, which was giving myself time and energy and loving to do the things that I love to do. So we all were talking about that conversation, and I thought, you know, there's so many aspects of being, I would say, responsible. And I say spiritual responsibility because that means going within yourself and finding out what is appropriate for you. And the only way that we really get in touch with that is by our feelings. So whether we have happiness or joy or peace, or we go to the other realm if we have fear or pain or discomfort, then we miss out on that message, that awareness for ourselves. So it's really important. And the hardest thing, and for most of us, is to be gentle with ourselves. Because really, to be honest with you, I know I have some things going on in my life, but I try not to make it a big issue, because I try to be gentle with it, because what am I going to do about myself? If I'm already feeling bad, am I going to beat myself up more about it? So it really doesn't help to do that. So the important thing is to really stand up to find out what is bothering you and really make a new decision. So I asked Spirit what I could do with that. And Spirit said to me that you can't create something, Rita, that you haven't imagined. So I realized that that was the message for me this week, is that I have to imagine what I want. You know, I have to imagine what it is that maybe I'm living right now, but imagine what I want so I can get into that, creating that energy in the future to draw it to me. So I decided that I was going to start writing my life of how I wanted to see it done. I wanted to write and write my life out and say, how would I like it to go? And stay focused on that instead of focused on the other elements. Because that way, I think I'm moving in the right direction to what I really, really want. So, and you know, there's lots of in-betweens. This is a conversation I could have with myself because there's a lot of things that we have in childhood that we bring forth, which is, you know, there's a lot of things that we've accumulated over the years. But at the same time, you know, when you're in pain, you just don't want to keep beating yourself up. So you need to make a shift in some kind of reality, and that is by at least using your imagination to get something that you do want. So there was that chapter. The next chapter was completely from an email and far out for me. This was sent to me by a friend of mine. And believe me, I'm open-minded, you know, to other things. But I'm also simple-minded. And he, like I said, you know, spirit has to work really hard to make it really clear to me that I know that I know. So, like, you know, I want to know the name. Got the name? Oh, they got the name. So this was sent from an email of my friend that's talking about the change of the next evolutionary cycle that we are taking since July 17th. And it says, I'm going to read a little bit of it so you can understand what I'm talking about. It says, as we recently broke into the other side, the shock waves generated from the sheer impact have been reverberating through our very core, in our brains, in our third eye. The Guardian mentioned this breaking through the timeline was akin to the esoteric or biblical reference of opening of the seal. If you reread, if you give yourself a clue as to what the seal is that they are referring to, the many earthquakes on our planetary body, the macromism, this year have been shaking us to get ready to open your own personal body seal, the microcosm. The opening of the seal left its mark as an imprint on our forehead, created some scarcely intense physical symptoms around our skull, brain, nerves, and eyes, and the recent transmission downloads and their lucid dream states have contained many variations of geometrics, hieroglyphs, Hebrew letters, animals, as well as flying colors and hearing inner ear ringing tones. Our brain is changing. It's no wonder we have been most sequestered and isolated the past few months, as we have been in the altered state where one can comfortably tool around town. So, this goes on, talks about the wrath of the Lamb, esoterically the power of the eternal light. It is also referred to this month as the wrath of the Lamb. According to the Guardians, we have entered the times in which the forces of darkness will feel the power of the eternal light for the first time. I'm sorry for my voice tonight. Since most humans do not understand the natural physics of building the holographic reality, much of the Bible code is reduced to linear, egotistic thought forms of metaphor or analysis, most of which are grossly distorted by those who seek to gain from their misconstrued meaning. So, I mean, this was a heavy thing that I got. And so this person wanted to know how I felt about all these changes coming forth and the planetary changes and that we're getting these transmissions and we're changing. And I believe it's true on some level that it's really happening. And, you know, I'm not that one to ask, is that really true for me? Because I think that I'm more, what's the word? How can I express it? I'm more day-to-day experienced person. Live, eat, sleep, get up and do the same thing over again. But I'm more conscious of the love level that I'm living. I'm more conscious of what I'm experiencing throughout my day and how I want to respond. Am I responding from my spiritual cord or not? And I think for me, it's when I read all this, it's good information. But I don't know, if God really wanted me to know it, he'd probably give me that information or download it somehow, like he did with the name that he brought in at my sister's office. Because I don't know what change that's all going to have for us to know all that knowledge, although I think it's good to have the awareness of knowledge being there. But I think that it can be a distraction in my mind to not be able to be present into myself of the love level that is really currently available to me. And I think that, does it really matter? What really matters is that I focus on the inner being of myself that's connected to the light and the love of who I am, and that will never change, because I am connected to whatever holographic patterns or multi-dimensions that I'm connected to, and I'm not going to change from that level. This is my experience here on the humanity level. And that if I can translate my thoughts into higher thoughts as I speak, or as I talk to people, or am I work with people on a love level, then I think that all that is personally for me that's necessary. Now, other people, I'm not judging that for other people, this may be their passion. This may be their love of what they spiritually feel connected to, what there is happening. I think it is a spiritual responsibility for each individual to choose what it is that they would like to experience in their lives. But if you don't have your own life personally grounded into the love or the desire to have the love, then I don't think that you can download the information that is so much larger than you of your understanding in this level of frequency or a level of vibration that we're in. I think it's a great deal. Because I think that if you, all this information that's given, that you have to realize that you're just as powerful as it is, whether it is happening or not. And I think that you're used on the mundane level every day to what it is that you need to do for yourself. And I think we do it through acts of our spirit, of our spirituality. That's where we take the responsibility. We take it by kindness. We take it by caring. We take it by giving good thoughts, words, and deeds to others. And we totally can get that through our own inner knowing. So if it's coming to you, and if you are a person that's supposed to be in connection with all that, then so be it, you know. Don't question if it enlivens your spirit. But I also would like to suggest that you look at the level of what the purpose of it is. Because we're already living our purpose as long as we're in love. So that was the kind of the middle of the day experience. So, you know, I didn't even leave my house today. So this comes in just from asking God in the awareness of what it is and how to interpret and try to interpret it, what's happening in your own life, from an awareness level. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to be anything. You just have to be you and be in alignment with that inner love that's there all the time. And whatever's going to happen, whether we stay here or we go to the other side, or if we have to prepare for it the other side. I mean, people are moving to Ecuador after reading this, saying it's the place to go. Well, how do they know that's the right spot? I mean, I just heard somebody got kidnapped over there, a family, that they had to pay $300,000 to get that person back. So, I mean, how do you know it's the right place? I think you have to know yourself and know that you're in the right place and the right circumstance. And if you're not, then recreate what you want, but create it in the level of love that you want to. And it is an opportunity to expand yourself. And I like the word expansion, because I think every opportunity that we have in a challenge is an expansion level, or it's an opportunity to learn. My husband asked me a question last week with my friend. He says, you know, the question I have about your church, Rita, is that, let's just say, for instance, my dad, he's passed away. And maybe he, you know, do you believe in reincarnation? I said, yeah, I do. I believe in reincarnation. He goes, well, if my dad died and then he reincarnated to another body, how can you get in touch with him? And I said, well, that's a good question, honey. I said, well, I think that we are multidimensional beings and we're still part of that one creation. And so there's a level of awareness that's always available. Because, you know, if we are, like people say we are, our holographic patterns down here in a physical body living in this level, and then our body and our soul lives on multi-levels at different times, connected to the total consciousness, then we always do have availability to all the wisdom and to all things that we need to have connection with. But it's all love, so you can't go wrong. So even if he did reincarnate, he's probably still hanging around somewhere in the ethers that you can contact it. So he's considering that. I don't know if he really believes it all, but he's considering it. So it's been a very interesting week of talking and meeting different people with different thoughts about spirituality, and I call it spirituality, or different thoughts of the universe and how people think. And, you know, there's lots of different activities out there for us to find and explore. But I think that, you know, it all comes back to you at some point. You came here, you're a planet with the seed of you, you're the tree, you're the flower, you're the nature that's growing within you, the spirit that's growing within you. If you ask, if you really ask to know that you know, whatever it is, whatever situation it is, you will get the answers, because you have to know that that comes. And, you know, the thing from my mother was pretty definite. You know, I felt like she really connected with that and getting the message in. And I think they really work hard to reach us. So I want you to say, reach out to Spirit. You know, they're our team. They're not here. And I have to say, for myself, I probably live more in the spirit world than I do sometimes here in this world, because they're easier to converse with than some of the people here. So, ask and pray that you get help with the things that you need to get help with. And know that you're just as loved, and you're the spirit on this side that they're connecting. And, you know, my husband said a really neat thing to my granddaughter. She's going up on a vacation up north to visit some aunts. And he said something to her which I related back again to spirit, as I do. He said, you know, she's all excited about going to see them. And he says, you know, they're just as excited to see you as you're going to be excited to see them. So just meet them. And I thought, wow, isn't that true about spirit? That we're just excited to talk to them as they are to talk to us. Because we've never left. We're just here in the human connection. We've never left spirit. They're just saying, hey, pay attention. And we've got all this programming down here that hasn't programmed to us to listen. And so listening is the key element. Listening to what they're speaking to you about. And trying to make it fit into your own life, because you're living it. So, you know, they're called integrity anchors. You know, you choose what you want to have anchored in your life to make you grow and become. You choose maybe like an exercise to do that makes you feel good. You choose the play in your life to feel good. Those are integrity anchors. You can choose spirit as an integrity anchor to connect you to what you need to do and help you grow. So those are my thoughts today. So I hope you enjoyed the different stories. I hope they all made sense to you. But anyway, thank you for this time.